The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 2 degrees and partly cloudy here in Montreal. I'm Lauriane Tremblay, and here are today's headlines. As of next week, Quebecers who are over the age of 85 will be able to take an appointment for their COVID vaccine. Just this morning, the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, Claude Julien, along with his assistant coach, Kirk Muller, were fired. And we have a review of the recently released New York Times documentary film, Framing Britney Spears. The province has just released the latest COVID-19 numbers. 806 new cases were confirmed yesterday. Montreal makes up approximately 410 of those cases. 130 people are currently in intensive care. This is an increase of 10 from the previous day. Over 8,800 vaccinations were administered, bringing the province total over 376,900. Starting next week, people 80 years and older will be able to receive the vaccine for COVID-19. Premier François Legault announced yesterday that the vaccinations will take place at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal, as well as other smaller sites. Legault said they will begin with the greater region of Montreal since it's the most affected, but anyone over 85 will be able to book an appointment. He also gave the website address as well as the phone number to schedule an appointment. The premier says he is very happy that the vaccination plan is on the right path. Montreal Canadiens head coach Claude Julien and associate head coach Kirk Muller were fired this morning. Dominique Ducharme was promoted as interim head coach and Alex Burrows was added to the coaching staff. Maria Boisbeau is here with the story. Hi, Maria. So tell me more about why some of the coaching staff was fired.
Hi, Lauriane. So the Canadiens just lost their third game in a row yesterday, but it's about more than that. They have lost 6 of their last 8 games, and Julien has been refusing to make any big changes. And it's only been making things worse for the Canadiens. A lot of fans have been saying that Julien should be fired and saying that he's the reason for the team's failures because his system doesn't work and is outdated. But when he was asked about what the problem was in a news conference, he said it's not the system, but the execution. So he was basically blaming the players and still refusing to make changes to his system. So I think that him refusing to make these changes and instead making some decisions that were hard to understand cost him his job for the Canadiens.
What are some of these decisions he has been making that has been confusing?
So some of these decisions include the fact that he has been scratching healthy players like Arturi Lehkonen and Victor Mete from the lineups to include other players who also haven't been performing that well. As well, Paul Byron was placed on waivers, but wasn't claimed by any teams. So he was then put on the taxi squad, but he played in yesterday's game. I think some inconsistent decisions like these affect the team's overall performance. Also in yesterday's game, Brendan Gallagher supposedly scored the game-winning goal with 2 seconds left, but after review, it was disallowed for goaltender interference. So that forced an overtime and then shootouts. And the player with the first shot was Corey Perry, a veteran fourth-line player. Perry is still a good player, but he's not close to what he used to be when he was younger. So giving him the first shot seemed like a little odd.
So would you say it was expected for the coaching staff to be let go?
Yeah, I definitely think it was expected. Many fans don't agree and they blame the general manager, Marc Bergevin, or goaltender Carey Price or other players who are having a difficult time performing as well as they were expected to. But for most people, it wasn't a shock that Julien was fired. I think the majority was expecting it, but was maybe thinking it would take a few more weeks maybe to give him another chance. Personally, I think it was the right decision.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Lauriane.
That was a reporter, Maria Boisbeau. Even though it's only February, universities are already looking ahead to fall plans. McGill has announced the return of in-person learning this fall. Concordia still has not finalized their plans. Our reporter, Thomas Quinn, has the story.
A spokesperson from Concordia said that they will be waiting until May to make an announcement about the fall semester. They are considering a mix of in-person and remote learning. Jordan Taylor is a Concordia student. He says that in-person learning would benefit students who are suffering from the mental health repercussions of remote learning.
I think it will be better because I think people are suffering right now because of the isolation. I just don't know what's the pandemic going to be like then. Not early to know what exactly we're going to be facing during that time. So for them to say that they're bringing kids back, I mean, that's kind of a bold move. I think that they need to have a bit more information and see how maybe the spring and summer rolls out before making that decision. And I think like in person is just like the way to go, but we have to understand that like there's repercussions, right?
Taylor says that he found that school became significantly more difficult when it transitioned to remote learning.
Switching to online, like there's so many more assignments and there's like such a disconnect between the prof or TA and the student.
Will Concordia return to in-person learning? Only time will tell. Thomas Quinn, Concordia News, Montreal.
Tax season is approaching quickly and it looks a little different this year. Although the government has made it clear that we will have to pay back a portion of COVID relief benefits, some people are anxious about how much that amount will be. Our reporter Olivia Pichet has the story.
This upcoming tax season is rolling out to be quite different from previous years. The big change is how the government will be taxing those who claimed emergency COVID benefits. Many people who have made these claims are worried about how much they will end up owing. Megan Bouchard is a restaurant worker. She says she's extremely stressed about this tax season.
This upcoming tax season I'm pretty stressed out about just because of the CERB. We are not used to having anything like that. So the fact that you're going to have to implement that in the taxes is what stresses me out the most.
Bouchard was laid off twice during the pandemic and has needed to claim benefits since last March. This was something new for Bouchard, as it has been for many other Canadians. This has left her feeling clueless about how much she will have to pay back. She feels the government is projecting uncertainty about how they will be taxing these relief benefits.
Well, if the government's uncertain, then that makes me feel uncertain, right?
The government has implemented modifications this year to help Canadians pay back what they will owe, such as striking interest rates on taxes for 1 year for those who qualify. Despite these measures, Bouchard still feels uncertain about some aspects of this tax year. She normally does her own taxes, but has decided to reach out to tax experts this year to ensure everything is done well and very clearly. For Concordia News, I'm Olivia Pichet.
A quick correction to an earlier story. Starting next week, people 85 years and older will be able to receive the vaccine for COVID-19. And now to our next story. Quebec cinemas, pools, and skating rinks are set to open in 2 days. Following the announcement, there has been much debate about whether or not this will have a positive or negative impact on COVID numbers. The government is obviously very confident that if people follow social distancing and mask wearing rules, all will be fine. However, some people are worried that this is a signal that we don't need to be as concerned about COVID protocols. Our reporter, Shanley Desparois, spoke to an expert in behavioral medicine to find out how the government's decision might encourage or disencourage people to continue following the COVID-19 rules and restrictions. Hi, Shanley.
Hi, Lauriane. I was really interested on seeing how people are responding to the government relaxing the rules, but the fact that we're supposed to follow COVID-19 protocols. So to find out more, I called up Dr. Simon Bacon. He's a professor and researcher in behavioral medicine at Concordia University. He's exploring the psychological effects of reopening and how people might respond. He's part of a larger study being conducted by the MBMC, the Montreal Behavioral Medicine Center. Over 80,000 people from over 150 countries have participated in several surveys. These surveys are updated daily and are focused on people's awareness, behavior, and the impacts concerning the COVID-19 virus. He uses a behavior chain model that collects data from the survey to figure out what we should be doing and how we should be approaching things, all while using the data with case numbers and government policies. This provides a larger picture on what's going on and how these factors interconnect. Dr. Bacon explains that the cost is a big factor in decision-making for many Canadians. And what I mean by cost is not by buying things like masks, but the cost of what people have to give up in order to follow the COVID-19 rules. So basically, minimal cost is wearing a mask daily, and a larger cost would be avoiding social interactions.
To not meet with friends, not to be with family, you know, there's a cost there that's sort of a social cost. There's an emotional cost, which makes it very difficult for people to maintain those behaviors, or seemingly maintain those behaviors.
So what does this all mean? Will people want to follow the rules?
He says despite the COVID-19 numbers, most Canadians are following the rules daily and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. However, there's a small minority of people who aren't, and this group continues to grow daily. On average, he says males between the ages of 18 and to 30 years old are less concerned about getting sick and more concerned about making money and seeing their friends. The problem is that the government's message on health is the fear of transmitting the virus. So the government's message is not engaging this group of people, and this is basically failing to align with what's important to them.
Thank you, Shanley.
Thank you, Lauriane.
That was reporter Shanley Desparois. Following the opening of museums, a new exhibit will take place at the Palais des Congrès de Montréal tomorrow. The exhibit is called Oasis, and it takes the shape of an immersive magazine. It addresses ongoing social and environmental issues in an optimist and positive way. The audio and visual installation is made to be dynamic, upbeat, and set to inspire change in our society. For spring break, it'll run for 10 days straight. Tickets are available if you're interested. The New York Times has released Framing Britney Spears, a documentary film that highlights the high and low points of the pop star career. Reporter Raina Ephraim is here with her review.
Britney was so serious and so focused. This is a girl that's coming from strength.
She was so open and vulnerable. How we treated her was disgusting.
With chart toppers like Oops, I Did It Again, Baby One More Time, Toxic, and If You Seek Amy, fans have come to know the pop phenomenon known as Britney Spears for defining singles, her magnetizing looks, and the scandals that have followed her life and musical career. But not everything is as it seems in the artist's life. Upon watching the film, fans will see a different side of Spears' life. We come to learn that she has been caught up in a legal battle with her father, Jamie Spears, over her financial estate conservatorship, a battle that has been ongoing most of her adult life. Adam Streisand, Spears' former lawyer, and some of her associates discussed the ramifications of the court case.
She accepted that the conservatorship was going to happen, but she didn't want her father to be a conservator. That was her one request. And anytime there's that amount of money to be made, you have to question the motives of everyone close to that person.
Do they always have her best interest at heart? Something is going on behind the scenes here.
Spears has been at the mercy of her father's conservatorship for the last 12 years, a legal implementation that has been in effect since her very public breakdown back in 2008. The conservatorship was put in place on the basis that she was not mentally fit to take care of herself, her children, her career decisions, and ultimately, her own life. After watching the film, I feel sympathy for Britney, the way she has been scrutinized by the paparazzi over the years, as well as by her very own family, has left her isolated. Luckily, fans have created a movement in support of her freedom known as #FreeBritney. They remain hopeful that her conservatorship will come to an end, as I believe we all should. The film is currently available in the United States on streaming platforms Hulu and FX. Raina Ephraim, Concordia News, Montreal.
That's your news to 11:48. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Lauriane Tremblay.